This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text 13. Agyahi Vrishabhadram va Sarunam Makritagasam Atma Vairupya Kataram Partanam Kitirushanam Akyahi Vrishabhadram va Sarunam Makritagasam Atma Vairupya Kataram Partanam Kitirushanam Akyahi Vrishabhadram va Sarunam Makritagasam Atma Vairupya Kataram Partanam Kirtidushanam Akyahi. Just let me know. Brisha, a bull. Bhadram, good. Pa, for you. Sarunam, of the honest. Akita Agasam, of those who are offenseless. Atma Vairupya, defamation of the self. Kataram, the doer. Partanam, of the sons of Pritha. Kirtidushanam, blackmailing the reputation. Translation. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Translation, please repeat. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Purport. The reputation of the reign of Maharaj Ramchandra and that of the kings who followed in the footsteps of Maharaj Ramchandra, like the Pandavas and their descendants, are never to be forgotten because in their kingdom, offenseless and honest living beings were never in trouble. The bull and the cow are the symbols of the most offenseless living beings because even the stool and urine of these animals are utilized to benefit human society. The descendants of the sons of Pritha, like Maharaj Parikshit, were afraid of losing their reputations. But in the modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. Herein lies the difference between the reign of those pious kings and the modern states ruled by irresponsible executive heads without knowledge of the codes of God. So, if we remember, Srila Prabhupada in his previous purport, he ended by saying that, remember, the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam are there for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. So it was an unfortunate situation. They're blind, but they're at the helm. And I was saying yesterday, just imagine you're driving the car. You're in the car. There was a blind person driving the car. That would be a very rough ride. So you know, all over the world, there's a turbulent situation and even chaotic situation. Because as mentioned previously. They are not following the codes given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Codes given by Krishna that are presented coming down through the ages, guru, by the, you know, in the Shastra, by the guru, by the sadhus, and how to rule the kingdom, how to live in the kingdom. What is the goal of life? Now, the Prabhupada emphasizes this. One must act accordingly to fulfill the goal of human life. And what is, make an end to all miseries of material conditions. And one who knows this code can achieve this end without difficulty. So these codes, of course, in the Veda, Vedanta, and then in, Prabhupada actually says now in the modern era we have Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. All these codes are explained. So and the difference between great kings like Maharaj Parikit, Yudhisthira, and modern rulers is that they were following these codes, and today they are not following, and they are ignorant of what are these codes. Now here we're reading Akyahi Brisha Bhadramva, that Maharaj Parikit is determined to punish the perpetrator of these mutilations. The bull, the three legs, have been beaten, and he is standing, hobbling on the one leg only. And of course, it is mentioned by Prabhupada that for all this, neither the bull nor the cow actually protested. It was, you know, they were being beaten by the personality of Kali. It was only, and they weren't protesting. This means they were not ordinary bull and ordinary cow. They were the personification of the Dharma in the form of the bull, and Mother Earth in the form of the cow. They were not ordinary. They were not protesting. And actually, later on, we'll read that after Maharaj Parikit asks his questions, the personality, the Dharma in the form of the bull, begins to speak. And he preaches in a very philosophical way. He doesn't talk about his own suffering. He talks about the resultant actions of persons' activities in the world and how reactions come. So very philosophical. Parikit Maharaj could understand immediately, of course, being the great soul he was, that these are not ordinary. You are not an ordinary bull. You are not an ordinary cow. But nevertheless, even if they were ordinary bull, ordinary cow, still, Maharaj Parikit was outraged that such horrible act was being perpetrated. And he was ready at once. Now, Prabhupada mentions that the executive heads have to be like fire when it comes to these rascals and miscreants. They cannot let these things pass. Otherwise, they get reactions. They have to get heavy reactions themselves for allowing these things to happen and not doing anything about it. They all get reactions. But not only that, they're feeling. Here it is mentioned also that there are citizens of the state, praja. And then that's not only human beings. That's the citizens, you know, as explained earlier, that all those who take birth in the state or the country, they are considered citizens, not only human beings, but different animals and other creatures. If they have taken birth, then actually it was the responsibility of the leaders to make sure that everyone was well looked after, and not only well looked after, but protected. Protected. They have to be protected. Especially those who are offenseless and just non-offensive. Yeah, offenseless. What's the word? Here it is. You are offenseless and thoroughly honest, is what Parikit Maharaj says here. And living beings are just innocent. They're just living their lives. So, you know, one should not, generally, it's a principle, one should not mistreat anyone else. and especially, one should not mistreat those that, you know, who are offenseless, just innocent, just living their lives. You know, they said in human society, the children, the elderly, the brahmanas, the women, these have to be protected. In human society, but not only in human society, other creatures have to be protected. Of course, if there's some animals that are giving trouble, some wild animals, if there's some wild animals, some tiger or something like that comes into the village, then the leaders have to take action. That is another thing. That is like an emergency. I think it's mentioned later on, as we read later on, as it's called, situations that are emergencies. Apadharma. They're emergencies. Generally, we have to follow certain codes and as a general principle. But sometimes there's emergencies. Just like generally, there's a lot of food. You know, like the human beings are meant to eat certain types of food. They're not meant to eat the meat. Human beings are meant to eat certain types of food. It is alright for the tigers to eat the meat, the dogs to eat the meat, and other creatures to eat other things. But sometimes in emergencies, the human beings, if there's nothing, and Prabhupada gives the example of, there's one story of Vishwamitra one time, he was in a desperate situation, he had to eat the flesh of the dogs, because there was nothing else. So in an emergency situation, but one shouldn't use emergency situation then make a general rule. You know, I have to eat the chicken because I can't eat anything else. I remember one time I was giving a lecture at psychiatric institute. They look after the psychiatric patients. I forget the name of it. It's just here in Melbourne. And I was talking about vegetarianism and protecting the cows and the bulls. And then the one question at the end was, well, we can't kill the cows. What do we do with them? That was the question. We don't kill them. What do we do with them? Such is the thinking. They're so narrow-minded, so ignorant, that even to the nature of that question exposes their ignorance. Even to ask such a question, what an ignorant fellow. What do we do with them? That means they don't even think. They don't think anything of killing. You understand that? They don't think anything of killing another creature. It's just like walking in the street. I walk in the street, I also kill that creature there. There's so much killing going on, and people are become just a callous, desensitized to it. A devotee in New Zealand, he was running a sheep farm, and he said that, you know, since he was on the farm, he saw so many farmers. They're killing the animals just so callously. He said in the sheep industry, you know, if it looks funny, if the little sheep looks funny, they'll just kill it. It's walking strangely. Kill it. I don't even think there's suffering here. The little baby lamb or something like that is walking a little funny. We'll kill it and we'll send it to the slaughterhouse. They don't think. They're so callous and so ignorant. So this was the question, you know, that, well, if we don't kill the cows, what do we do with them? What do we do with the cows? Here Prabhupada explains, the cows and the bulls are valuable. Even the stool and the urine is valuable. What to pick of the milk, and of course the bull, the bullocks, in the agrarian-based society, they would be used for ploughing the fields, to give the grains that we can eat. You know, go to the field and you can just... and it's just a very simple thing. And the stool of the cow, the dung, right, isn't it? They use it for the fuel, they use it for the putting on the slurry on the floor, and they make the patties from it. So many things that can be done, even the urine. Such valuable. And of course, and when they die, then you can use the skin. The Prabhupada used to say that. I remember one time here, he said that. If you want to eat the flesh, at least wait until they die. Why kill them? Every creature is going to die. If you're so attached to eating flesh, wait till they die and then eat. And if you want to use the skin for the leather, at least wait till they die. Then you can take the skin. Why kill? Causing them so much suffering. But people are so ignorant. They're just callous. They're callous to other people's suffering. This is a symptom of those in the mode of ignorance. Those in the mode of ignorance, they're thinking like that. I enjoy, you suffer. I don't care you suffer as long as I enjoy. But mode of goodness opposite. I can suffer as long as you're alright. You see the difference in the mentality. So we find in Kali Yuga so much mode of ignorance. They don't care so many suffer. People without discrimination, they're eating anything and everything. Even now India, I was reading a number three meat exporter of the world or something like that. India. And and everyone's so many, like 80% have become meat eaters in India. I remember when I was first going to India, it was like the other way around. Just in the last 40, 50 years it's changed. So even India, supposedly the land of the Dharma, they're killing and horrific, atrocious activities against the bull and the cow. Even there. Of course, in other parts of the world, it has been going on for so long. But don't kill indiscriminately. But as I was going back to the point, in extenuating circumstances, all right, you're in a desert, you're going to die, there's nothing else around, there's a rabbit, there's a dog, then to survive, maybe you have to do something. There's a fish, never the cat. So Amar Parikit, he was outraged. Who has done this? He was ready to punish immediately. We read later on how Kali just surrenders. And Prabhupada says this is the difference between a real Kshatriya and a non-Kshatriya. Non-Kshatriya never surrenders. For a true Kshatriya, they fight to win or they fight to die. That's it. Fight to win or fight to die. There's no surrender. Kali, when later on we'll read it, when Parikit Maharaj goes to chastise Kali and drew his sword, and Kali just, although he was dressed as the king, all this is symbolic also, although it happened, it's also symbolic, that the lower class, they dress up as the higher class. So this is going on today, isn't it? Those, and we were talking about this yesterday, those that really not trained, no real qualification to take up the leadership position, just by votes, they're elected in. What I was saying yesterday, what qualification they have? Someone brought up some lady who was just running the fish and chip shop, and she got the votes, and she became a member of parliament. I think she maybe became a federal member or something like that. She was thinking of running for prime minister. So even if you've got the degree in accountancy or the degree in engineering, what do you know about leadership? Well, maybe you have a degree in one thing or the other, but what do you know about leading a country? You see, but this is the difference between the modern day and the past, that the monarchy and the kings, they were trained right from the youth, educated how to govern, so many, the Dharma, so many aspects they were trained. And then they were trained up, and then under the watchful eye, not just let loose, now you're elected, just get in there. So this is the problem today. And so this is also about coming to the Kali. So they dress up and they look fine. Just like Prabhupada would say sometimes, you can dress the dog, put him in the fancy clothes, put him on the throne, put the crown on top of the dog. But you throw the bone, what did he do? He jumps off and he just barks. Isn't it? You can dress the dog. Sometimes you'll see like that in the Western countries. They dress their dogs up to look like just like the owner. I've seen it. Have you seen? I saw one time in the car, I didn't know the difference between the owner was driving and the dog was. And they looked just the same. You can dress them up and make them look all sorts of things. Put them on the throne, Prabhupada said. And put the crown on top, but you throw the bone, then immediately the nature comes out. So similarly, those who are elected into the big positions, they're not capable of handling those positions. And in certain circumstances, their lower natures come out. Their lower natures come out. So, you know, not only do they have to be trained, they have to have good character. Good character, good training, and abiding by the codes of the Supreme Personality of God, Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. And that's how you rule, not by your own whims or other pressures or others' opinions. Or you have to go by these things. Now here another point is made here. Reputation, and Prabhupada talks about this, the reputation of the reign of Mari Ramachandra and those who follow in the footsteps, Mari Yudhisthira, Mari Parikit, had high reputation. Mari Parikit didn't want his reputation or the line he came in sullied by this horrendous act. He was personally hurt. This was against the codes of Dharma. And not only that, the whole reputation of the line of the... Now, reputation was very important for kings. Reputation. It's important for everyone, actually. But especially for kings. And in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this to Arjuna. Arkitim Chapibhuta Katayi Santhya. Isn't it? Arkitim. He says that... You are not wanting to fight and wanting to go away from the battle, but you are respectable and you have been honored. And for one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than the death. Better die than be dishonored. You've been honored. And it's not just a matter of honor for the sake of personal honor. It's a question of reputation, so to gain respect so they can rule effectively. This is also part of the psychology. You see, if one's got a good reputation, especially the kings, the ruling, the leaders, their reputation is high, they gain trust, they gain respect. And when they gain trust and respect, then you can lead very nicely. But if you haven't got trust and respect, you can't lead. No one will want to follow you. Prabhupada, I remember reading one statement he made that about leaders. Leaders can only lead when the followers agree to follow them. He put it very bluntly. Leaders can only lead when the followers agree to follow them. So part of wanting to follow someone is, you know, you have respect for them, you have trust in them, they are of high character, all these types, they have all good qualities. They are educated, they are trained. So then you have a good feeling, and then you're willing to follow them. You can't force. Of course, someone can force for some time. You know, just like in some countries, they're forcing. And all countries, really, they're forcing in a sense. They're forcing. They pass legislation, they pass laws, and you're forced to follow them. You have to conform. So everyone is forced. But they don't want to follow voluntarily. Generally speaking, especially in Kali Yuga, people don't want to follow voluntarily because of their mode of ignorance. But to force someone, maybe you can force by power, but the heart doesn't change. There's an old saying, he who is forced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know that saying? He is forced against his will, same opinion still. You can, you know, force their body, but their mind and heart is not with you. And at any opportunity they have, they'll go against you. So therefore, Mara Cricket was very concerned about this, the reputation. He wanted to effectively rule very nicely. And just like we see with Lord Ramchandra, you know, when that there was ill spoken of Sita Devi, when Sita Devi came back, there was that, who was it, that man? The husband was complaining against his wife. I'm not like Lord Ram, taking a woman who's gone to another man, taking her. I don't think I'm like him, of course. And Lord Ram was very concerned about that. Although Sita was innocent. But he was so concerned. Of course, this is part of a leader also, but he was very concerned about that. You know, it's going to affect my ability to lead because my reputation. The Lord Ramchandra himself was very concerned, the Supreme Personality of God. He was concerned about it. And he asked Sita to go out, such a harsh decision. Anyway, so this is something that Prabhupada talks about here. And he was saying that because of all these different reasons, Maharaj Parikshit had to punish Kali. And Prabhupada goes on to say that the punishment should be very exemplary. Exemplary. Miscreants have to be punished in an exemplary manner. And when they're punished in an exemplary manner, then auspiciousness follows. So, in other words, offense, especially offences, but anyone who's mistreated, and very important to have a feeling of being protected in society. Today's big problem, isn't it? We read all over the world, people even in their own homes, they don't feel very safe. Even you walk around this neighborhood here, which is considered, you know, a kind of middle class kind of area, but still you see the windows have the bars, the doors have the bars, you know, most countries like that. And now we're finding more and more of this, like people breaking into your own home in the middle of the night, even while you're there. But people don't feel very safe. So this is a sign of ineffective or negligent leadership. When the criminal element is not curbed and is rampant, then it's a sign of ineffective leadership. In one way or another, it's ineffective. It's on the rise. No one can say that the violence is decreasing over the years. We have to say that the violence is increasing. Not decreasing. Increasing. You know, in so many ways. Either, you know, through thieves, through domestic situation, through war, through so many other ways, the violence is increasing. That shows that the leadership in Kali Yuga is ineffective. The leaders have to be powerful. Strong. But their decisions have to be based in Shastra. And they have to take advice from the Brahmanas, they have to take advice from the ministers, so on and so forth. But it cannot be just a trial and error type of. More or less, a civilization these days is built up on a trial and error. They try certain things and they legislate. Oh, that didn't work, they amend it. Then they amend this. So everything is like trial and error. So that is very faulty. But so anyway, Prabhupada makes the point, someone who is such a rascal, he should be punished in an exemplary way. He was going to kill him. Now Maharaj Parikshit was vested with the power of, dispensing punishment immediately. Immediately. He had made the decision immediately. Right then and there, this man is going to be killed. Right now. Right. Now, not an ordinary person couldn't do that. Maharaj Parikshit, being trained and who he was, he knew, that especially this type of offence, this is what the punishment is. And, you know, and it was going on right then and there. So he was ready to punish him, to put him to death. So crimes are punished by death. The devotees, we believe in the death sentence. Of course, you have to make sure that the actual the guilty one is actually guilty. But the death sentence have to be there. Otherwise, it was said that if someone is not put to the death for, you know, crimes like murder and all these things, then they'll have to suffer life after life after life for that thing. That people don't understand. their karma will be many lives they will have to be put to the death. But if they are put to the death, that one life is forfeited. For the death they cause, they forfeit their life. That is the just punishment. And sometimes the punishment, now when we read this exemplary, sometimes it may seem that the punishment is very extreme in comparison to the offence. Well, sometimes it's like that. And it has to be like that because it has to be exemplary. If it's too light, then if it's too light punishment, then the others who are also doing the same crime will think, well, even if I get caught, I will just get the light. So it encourages them to continue their nefarious activities. But if the punishment is very strong, they're going to think more than twice about, you know, committing it themselves. So it has to be like that. Exemplary way. Especially these types of crime. You know, this type. But anyway, Prabhupada finishes up by saying that offenseless creatures. Now we have a problem in society because people are not offenseless or peaceful. They're actually committing so many offences. And then therefore the leaders and the police have their hands full. They cannot cope with so much violence. If you talk to any policeman or policewoman, they'll tell you, oh, we have so many cases every day. We cannot keep up. We don't have enough police force to keep up. You know, we have to categorize them, this more serious, this one less serious, this one less. Therefore, we put the manpower with the more serious, and then later we'll come to the less serious, because they have to, they've only got... But the Krishna Conscious Movement, Prabhupada explains here, the aim is to make everyone offenseless. This is the best way to deal with it. If we allow the situation to keep going on, more crime, more violence will come more and more. How are you going to deal? More army, more police, more this, more that, more punishment. It'll just increase. It'll become like the police state. On every corner, you have to have the man with the machine gun. Isn't it? It'll come like that. Even if you're walking in the footpath in the suburb, there'll be the one on the corner with the machine gun. Where are your papers? Look, where are you going? Already it's like that in so many places. When you go to the airport, you know, you have to... The man with a, I don't know, in India we see the machine guns there. They've got the machine guns. And you search so many times, take your shoes off, take your belt off. You have to go up in the Western countries, they've got that screen, and the screen over. You have to put your hands up. And I don't think they've got in India yet, have you seen it? The X-ray. I know here they've got. And you go like that. This is not just going through the, where they... You know, the person does with that. This is one where you have to put your hands up like this, and then they do an X-ray, and they can see underneath your clothes. They got a picture of it. You have to put your feet here, put your hands there. You feel already you're a criminal. I mean, your hands are up like this. It's like when the police say, hands up. But they tell you, go in this machine, put your hands up. Look like this, don't look that, look straight. I was in America one time, I just happened to go, no, look straight. So this is the situation. They have to adopt such extreme measures to deal with the situation of Kali Yuga. But if the population can change, and the Prabhupada mentions here, make everyone offenseless. In other words, everyone has to become a devotee. If everyone becomes devotee, then so many problems will decrease. Live a nice life, eat Krishna prasad, chant Hare Krishna. You know, there's so many, not only on the violent side, but on the health side. There's so many problems, so many hospitals are needed, so much money is spent by the government. If people became devotees, there would be less illness, less sickness. You don't need for so many hospitals. So many cancers. You know, I was talking to one doctor devotee and he was saying that something like 95% of cancers can be attributed to lifestyle. To lifestyle. He said the brain tumour, and we don't know exactly, but at least he said 90 to 95% of the cancers, and so much cancer is coming now. He said, before I came to this country, I never knew of so much cancer. He said, but now I see it's coming here, so much type of cancer is there. And he said, and 90, 95% can be attributed to lifestyle, the smoking, the eating the meat, so many things like that.
Smoking
cigarettes, yeah, that's one of the big ones. Eating the meat also is attributed, linking it to the bowel cancer. So many other also, tumours and all sorts of things, lifestyle. So, you know, people could live nice lifestyle, devotee lifestyle, spiritual life, healthy life, regulated life. Prabhupada said a few times here, he said, just like there's the old saying, early to bed, early to rise makes the man. Early to bed, early to rise makes the man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But we see these days such unregulated lifestyles. We're going in the Jackal Walk in the morning, and the people are still coming out of the nightclub. 6, 7 o'clock, they're just going home. And so we're again engaged in the activity during the day, they're sleeping. And then they wake up at night and do the same thing. So it's upside down. Irregular lifestyle, unhealthy habits, no spiritual, don't follow the directions given in the Shastras. This leads to an unstable, turbulent society. So therefore, Prabhupada recommends that people should be trained in such a way that they follow their Svadharma and they follow Sanatana Dharma, the spiritual. You do your Svadharma and Sanatana. Side by side. Then the society is more peaceful. No need of excessive military, excessive police, excessive health care facilities, excessive so many things. So many extreme measures have to be taken. Taxing the government. The government is trying to find money for all these things. And they themselves have to be trained, the government leaders. So then the wholesale solution is going to be there. I'll read this verse again. Akkahi Vrishabhadram Va Sarunam Akritagasam Atma Vairupya Kartaram Paratanam Kiti Dushanam. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest, therefore I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Any questions? Comments? Yes. What is? What is what?
I worked in the slaughterhouse about 10 years ago for a couple of years. And every person who worked there was very much suffering to some degree. There was so much violence and drug abuse, which was very much condoned by the mention, to the degree that when independent drug testers came to test people, people would actually be paid not to come to work and that you would test positive. And the violence, they had this rule that they would not fire anybody. So one person who was a foreman or who managed 20 people, he actually slapped someone at work and went to the other room that was rubbing back in the same position when he was out of jail.
So that's a comment, or
yes.
Okay. any other points or questions? Yes.
Another comment when you say Maharaj about a lot of things related to his lifestyle is very important on influence. For example, smoking, cancer of the lungs, chronic cases. RTD, coronary RTD, and
Yeah, yeah.
So important. Yeah. And also drinking, alcohol, pancreatic cancer.
From the alcohol drinking.
Can be avoided.
That's becoming more prevalent now, the pancreatic cancer, I've seen. Yeah.
Too much alcohol.
Alcohol. Mm. So of course, liver is also affected, isn't it?
Of course, genetic factors are there.
Yeah.
Genetic. But a lot of cancer.
But it seems to exacerbate the whole thing. There may be other factors, but you know, when you combine everything together.
And if you are Krishna conscious, you can avoid most of it.
Yeah. Yes. Take it from the doctor. All right. All right. Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.